It's been a blessing to be here today. It's harder to preach in the afternoon because you hear all these preachers and you continue to develop what God has laid on your heart to preach. So I have a lot of stuff. I'll get right to it. But it's been a blessing. The food's been good. The hospitality's been good. So praise the Lord. Me and John today, John chapter 1, and verse 23 is the starting point of the message here from John the Baptist. And there's a lot of stuff in here, and I hope that I can do justice by it. John chapter 1 and verse 23, John said, "He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just come before you, Lord, and I do ask for your blessing on your message today, Lord God. And I thank you for the day, and I pray, Lord, that the hearts of those that are here be open to receive your word, to heed your word, and to apply your word in their life, Lord God. We thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So John the Baptist, he had one of the most important messages, because directly after, in his time, Jesus was coming. Jesus was going to be there. He was going to be at the point, and Brother Paco will preach on this, where he can say, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Now, I'm not going to get into that because I don't want to preach Brother Paco's message, but John the Baptist says to make straight the way of the Lord, to prepare ye the way of the Lord. You need to be prepared for when the Lord comes, he's saying, and he's telling the Jewish people. And I'm going to go back here to the beginning of the chapter and start with first that in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, there are men today that are sent by God, sent by churches. And if you're not sent by, thank you, brother, if you're not sent by a church, you need to correct that, because it's the authority. Jesus gives the church the authority to send these men to ordain them and go out and to preach the word of God and to give the gospel. Amen. So you need to have that authority given to you by Jesus Christ through the church. And Baptist had the authority directly from God to go out and to tell people to prepare the way of the Lord, make straight, and be sure you're ready, because he's coming behind. But the message that John wanted to get across here in verse 7, he said that the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And might believe on who? Jesus Christ, amen. And all the messages here today with the prophets proclaiming all end with Jesus, amen. All end with our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Point towards Jesus Christ. And that's all we're doing. We're pointing people in the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're pointing people in the direction of salvation. We're pointing people in the direction so that they can have eternal life, so that they don't have to die and go to hell. That's the message here, that all men through John here might believe. And that's all we can ask for, is that whenever we share the gospel, that through that gospel they might believe on Jesus Christ for their as their Savior. Amen. So John came to bear witness of the light, and that light was Jesus. He was not that light. He was not that prophet. But he just came to bear witness, and that's what his message was. That's what he preached. Amen. Verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Same as today, the world does not know who Jesus Christ is. You might, and Brother Richard talking about not receiving a tract in the last 7 or 8 years. I don't remember the last time that I received a tract. Probably my wife, when she invited me to church, gave me a tract and invited me to church. But you don't see that today. So people aren't going to know Jesus if you're not out there telling them. And people, and the Jewish people, they weren't going to know that Jesus was coming unless John the Baptist was out there telling them that Jesus was coming. You need to prepare yourself. You need to watch. You need to pray. You need to be ready. You need to believe on him now, so that when he comes, when Jesus Christ comes, you just have to follow him, and you'll see the miracles of God. You'll see things that Jesus does, and you'll understand them. See, if you don't know God and you're not saved, you're not going to understand the Word of God. You're not going to understand what Jesus is preaching. You can't have Jesus Christ without Jesus Christ in your heart. You can't understand these things, and it's not hard to understand either. But you just need the light. You just need the knowledge. You just need the understanding. Amen. In verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own knew him not. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. To have the power of God is a privilege. And John the Baptist had the power of God, the authority from God to proclaim that Jesus was coming. And we have that same power and that same authority to tell other people that Jesus is coming. But when Jesus comes back again, there is no second chances. There is no, hold on a second, can you wait 5 minutes, Lord, so I can get what I didn't get right 25 years ago. You don't have a second chance. So that power, that authority, maybe you could say holds a little more weight today, but it should give you more ambition. It should give you more zeal. You should be more zealous for the Lord today to tell every soul that Jesus Christ is coming back, to tell every soul how they can get saved, how they can prepare themselves for that day. We don't know what hour, we don't know what time, but you will be able to see things happening to know that you need to be prepared. But why start then? Start now. Amen. There's been preacher after preacher after preacher today saying and telling us about what the prophets proclaimed and then how what Jesus said. Prepare now. Start now. Redeem the time now. Now is the time. Amen. If you're not saved, now is the time to get saved. If you're backslidden, now is the time to get right. If you're not out there telling people about Jesus, well, now is the time to get out there and tell people about Jesus. Amen. That's not going to, no, by osmosis, it's not going to happen. You know, God's not going to pick you up off the couch and bring you out into the world to go tell somebody about God. You know, you have to actually physically get up and want to serve the Lord. Amen. Don't call yourself saved and not want to serve the Lord. Amen. If you're a Christian, you want to serve the Lord. You want to be out there. You don't want to be sitting. You don't want to be stuck. You don't want to be anywhere but in the good graces of God, serving Him. Amen. You have the power to become the sons of God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ was made man for us so that He could walk like us and talk like us and be like us, but without sin. He gave us the perfect example. John the Baptist here is bearing witness of the perfect light, of the perfect way to live, of the perfect way to talk, act, think. See, we can be sinless through the forgiveness of our sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't have to live in our sins anymore. We were made free from that. That doesn't mean we're going to stop sinning the day we get saved. We just know the way to repentance. Amen. We know how to get it right. We know how to get it under the blood. Amen. We know how to live by the example that Jesus set for us. Well, we just have to start doing it better. Start doing it better. We have to do more. There's always more you can do for God. There's always more that you can do to get the word out there. If you have an idea, don't just have the idea. Actually do the idea. Now, if God lays on your heart something through the preaching of God's word, don't just say, oh, that's good. Get out there and do it. Amen? Get out there and do it. God didn't send John the Baptist to make straight the way of the Lord to tell people about Jesus for him just to sit there and say, well, that's good, God. No, there's a testimony behind it. There's an action behind it. There's a doing of the Word of God behind it. Amen. Jesus did not sit. He did not sit in his ministry. He was always doing the will of his Father. And he tells us multiple times, I'm here to do the will of him that sent me. Even Jesus himself was sent by God the Father. So these men, these prophets that were sent by God, they actually went out and did something about it. Did something for him. verse 15, John bare witness to him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. You're not anything special. If God's called you to do something, you're not anything special. I'm just an ordinary man, and I just have the word of God. I have the power. Preachers get up here. I'm sorry, but preachers get up and think that there's someone special. They got the three-piece suit on, the shiny shoes, and they think that they're a man. These are scuffed. And they think it makes them a man or something like that. Well, it doesn't make you anything. It just it gives you the ability to tell people about Jesus. It gives you the ability. You know, Jesus was preferred before you, and he's always going to be preferred before anybody else. His name is above any name. Amen. So just as John the Baptist here was saying that he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, the same is true today. Jesus Christ is the preferred one. Amen. He is the Son of God. Verse 16, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The moment you accept Jesus Christ, you're under grace and truth now. You abide by the commandments of Jesus Christ. That the law, the Jewish people, the moment a Jewish person got saved, the law is abolished to them. It's nothing to them. It's now grace and truth. It's now the commandments of Jesus Christ. It's always to the Jew first, then to the Greek. Oh, you know, it's Jews and Gentiles, but the Jews were first. That law is abolished when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist is saying, you're not under the law of Moses anymore, but if you believe on him that sent me, you're under grace, you're under truth, which is by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Verse 19, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? See, and even in today, when somebody's out preaching the word of God, or you're street preaching or whatever it is, when you talk about Jesus or mention the name of Jesus, people get uncomfortable. People get uncomfortable. And the Jewish people, they were uncomfortable with what John the Baptist was saying. They say, who are you? By what authority do you have to say these things? Who are you? What kind of person are you to tell us that this king, this the king, the priest, amen, the Son of God is coming? Who are you? Are you one of the prophets in the Old Testament, Elias? Or who are you? Just as today, who are you? Who is this Jesus that you speak of? Well, he's my God and my Savior. I hope that's the answer that comes out of your mouth. He's my God. He's my Savior. I got saved at 23 years old. I've been saved for 6 years. I hope that my family would come up to me and say, who are you? Who is this Jesus you speak of? And that brother you were talking about, why don't you get up and go witness to your family? Amen. Why don't you be the one to tell them about Jesus? Why do you have to have your friend or your pastor or somebody else do it? You're supposed to be changed. That hits home. I see my family on a regular basis, maybe once or twice a month. They should notice a difference. Not only me, but my family. Amen? If you have Jesus, if you have the light, you should be different. You should be able to bear witness easily of Jesus Christ. Amen. People should be uncomfortable when you walk in the room, not because of you, but because of Jesus. Amen. Verse 20, he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then, art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then he said unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? So what are you going to tell somebody when they say, who are you? What sayest thou? What are you going to say to them? God will give you an answer, but what are you going to say to them? John had an answer, and he says, I'm just the one. I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make straight, prepare the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah, if you look back in Isaiah. So what are you going to say? I'm just here to tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what he did for me. Let me show you what he did for you, because what he did for me is the same thing that he did for you and the next person and the next person. He hung on a cross. He was crucified. You can't even begin to describe that picture. And he was buried. He defeated death. He got that victory for us, and he rose again. I hope that's the answer you would give somebody. You are now the one crying to the people of 2019, crying to the people of Central Falls, crying to the people of our churches in North Kingstown. Wherever you are, you should be crying to the people that Jesus is coming back. Amen. Now's the time. Right. Now's the time. And that's what John was saying here. Now is the time to be prepared. So some of the things that you need to do to be prepared for the way of the Lord, first you got to believe on him. You can't do anything without believing on the name and believing on Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 10, it's very easy. Romans chapter 10, you have to believe first. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. Shall not be ashamed. All you got to do is call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Let me show you who Jesus is. Let me tell you what he did for you. You just have to call on him. Ask him to enter into your heart. I'm not asking you to sit down and pray a prayer just to repeat the words that I say. I'm asking you to believe what I'm showing you, because amen. Jesus says, blessed are they that believe and don't see. Amen. He tells Thomas that. Blessed are they that believe and don't see. So I'm just asking you. I'm going to show you in the Bible. I beg people just to listen. And when you listen, that you can hear what I'm saying, that your God did him into your heart. That's all you have to do. That's where it starts, is to believe on Jesus and believe what he did for you. This is John the Baptist. He's just asking the Jews, believe on the one that's coming. Believe on the one that's coming. Secondly, you have to be prepared by watching and praying. Today, we have to prepare by watching and praying. You know, I've asked my mom this. I've asked her if she wanted to be saved. I shared with her the gospel. My mother-in-law shared with her the gospel. A lot of people have talked to her, my wife. She's just not ready. She doesn't want to give up the life that she's living for Jesus. There's no time that you can say, all right, the Lord's coming back tomorrow. I'm going to get right on that day before he comes back. Now, you got to get right now and then spend the rest of your life watching and praying for him to come back. Doesn't mean your life stops and you watch and pray. No, you continue on, but you're mindful of Jesus every day. You're walking in the Spirit every day, because if you want to be prepared by watch and pray, you need to walk in the Spirit every day, because the flesh isn't going to allow you to pray. The flesh isn't going to allow you to tell somebody about Jesus. The flesh isn't going to allow you to be in the Word of God and read the Word of God. What the flesh wants to do is do what flesh wants to do, is your own will rather than the will of God. So how can you be more prepared and by watching and praying? That's what the Lord says, to watch and pray. You got to witness. You have to witness. You know, we all have a church, or we go to a church, or we pastor a church. You know, we want families to come in. We want to see people saved. When was the last time somebody was saved in your church? You don't have to answer. Just think about it in your head. When was the last time somebody was saved in your church? If it wasn't yesterday or last week, or maybe two weeks is going far. You get to 3 months, 4 months. It gets me. John, see, I'm crying to the people. Who are we witnessing to? Who are we inviting? Those are the people that are going to come and get saved. Now, we will get people who come in and see the church and will pull up and say, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I saw that in Michigan a few weeks ago. A woman was going through a hard time, got in her car that morning, pulled into the church that we were at. She got saved. So that happens. God will steer his people in that direction. Well, when was the last time somebody came into your church and got saved because you invited them? Or you told them about Jesus, and then after the fact you said, here's my church. That should motivate you to do more for God. You got to testify to others of that light that you have. When you testify to others about Jesus, tell them what he did for you. You know, I can tell people I'm saved, but what excites me is how God did a complete 360 in my life. I know what I did before, brother. And I know how God changed my life. So let me tell you where I was and what God took me from. Because your situation may be worse. It might have been better than mine. But this is what God can do. I'm a living testimony. We're all a living testimony of what Jesus Christ can do for us.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't grow up in church, and my wife did. My wife got saved at 6 years old. But from 1 to 6, you ask her parents, she was tough. She was tough. Look at my daughter. My daughter's 3 years old. You can see how tough my wife was. She's reaping what she sowed. Amen? So I hope that they get saved maybe at 4, 5, 6, maybe now, because I know what I sowed a little bit until I was 23. I don't want to deal with that. But I can testify to others what Jesus did for me. Amen. I can do that, and you can do that as well. A couple of things about John the Baptist, comparing him to us today a little bit, was the humility he had. If you're given authority by God and you're given the power by God to do something, that power can go to your head. And it has to some preachers or men that call themselves preachers. It happens. You got to have the humility, the ability to say, I'm nothing, Lord, and you're everything.
Amen.
Then can you go out and do the work of the Lord, just as John the Baptist did. God knows the people that he chooses. He knows you. He knows everything about you. Nothing's hidden. No thoughts hidden. Nothing that God sees in you is hidden to him. So, are you humble? Maybe the reason why somebody isn't coming to your church is because God doesn't want them to. Have you thought of that before? Why is God going to send somebody to a church where there's a bunch of people, prideful people, not doing anything for God? How are you going to show somebody how to get saved if you think you're above God? How? It's just a thought. Just a thought. But the humility that John the Baptist has, we need to take on some of that same humility, become so low, and know that we're nothing without God. We're nothing without God. Something else I see in John the Baptist is his obedience. His obedience. He went out, he had orders or whatever you want to call them from the Lord, he had what he had to do, and he was obedient to it. He didn't move off the path that God had sent him on. How many people get sent out and get off the path because they're not obedient to the will of God? They get themselves into it a little too much, and then they start doing their own thing. And then God's taken out of it completely. That's where you get some of these mega churches. Someone mentioned Joel, and I'll mention him. He's got this mega church. I'm not saying there might be people in that church that are saved. But you gotta go to the Word of God, the true Word of God. You know, I can get up here and preach feel-good stories, but you got to tell people what's coming. You have to tell people how to prepare. You have to tell people how to live. You know why? Because if people aren't in the Word of God, there's a lot of people who don't open this Bible on a week-to-week basis. And the only time they open it is when they come to church so that people can see them doing it. So we need to be sure that we're preaching from the Word of God. We need to be sure that we're being obedient to the Word of God. Go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, starting verse 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. If you can be obedient to the righteous things of God and just follow after His will, you're going to have peace. You're going to have glory. You're going to have honor. But if you rather be a child of disobedience and do not the things of God and not listen to the will of God, wrath, indignation, anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Doing evil is not working the righteousness of God. You don't. The world has a definition of evil. The definition of evil in the Bible is just doing unrighteousness, the opposite of what God wants you to do. It doesn't have to be some evil crime that the world makes out today. It's everything is sin. That's not, you know, murder is the same sin as lying. So it's righteousness or unrighteousness. Righteousness is the good way, the path to life. Unrighteousness is evil. Is doing what God does not want you to do. So, to prepare for the Lord to come, you have to believe on Him, you have to watch and pray, you have to witness, you have to testify of others. And this one's for pastors. You got to prepare your churches. You have to prepare your churches. It's something we were learning about reproduction is if you can, you yourself, take what you've learned, and I'm going to just give you my illustration, learning from Pastor Descent, he's taken everything that he has learned, amen, over his many, many years in the ministry, and he's developed, we have 12 men at our church that preach, and most of them are in seminary. Now, by his example, he's taking these men and teaching them everything he knows from the Word of God. That's our textbook, right? Now, if you yourself learn from him, and then you yourself teach somebody else, and then they learn everything, and then they teach somebody else, and the number gets up to a billion or something like that, or millions of people doing the same thing that they've been taught. So pastors in your churches, if you're preaching the Word of God, and you're following after God's will for what to preach, don't preach what you want to preach. Don't preach your opinions. Don't preach nothing but the Word of God and what He wants you to preach. And you're going to develop people, and people are going to grow in the Lord to the point where now they can go out and be comfortable talking about Jesus, be comfortable telling somebody what God did. They can learn the same things as God, and it's just a never-ending cycle. It's a never-ending cycle of reproduction. That's what all Jesus wants us to do is reproduce other people to be saved. Tell other people if you can win a soul to Christ, that's worth it all. That's what you were put here to do. That's the work of the Lord. you know, all the other stuff we do is great, but souls getting saved is what the Lord wants to see. He's not willing that any should perish. So John the Baptist's message here is to get people to believe on him that is coming. I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So three things that we can do aside from this, and I've already mentioned them, but to get a little more in detail, is to tell and profess Jesus Christ. Profess Jesus to everybody that you come across and come in touch with. I went to Romans in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you can just proclaim that to people, tell people that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. See, in the Old Testament, he flooded the earth. He promised that he would never do that again. In the New Testament, the new covenant that we have here, it's the love of God. Amen. And what he gave to us. Think about giving your Son. Think about giving your Son to sacrifice your Son for the sins of the world. That's what God had to do in order for us to have life. And that's what that John the Baptist was doing. He was just wanting, professing and proclaiming that the Lord was coming. So we need to do so the same. We need to do so the same. And if I'll tell you, being a dad, you can't just do what you want to do anymore because your children watch everything that you do. Amen? So your children are going to become who you are. So you want to be sure that you're in church. You want to be sure that you're in your Bible. You want to be sure that you're telling people about the Lord Jesus, because you, when your kids are 9 or 10, you tell them, why don't you go tell your friends about Jesus, or however you're going to say it. Well, Dad, you don't. Mom, you don't. Mom and Dad, how come you're happy and joyful and praising God at church, but at home you're swearing, you're watching the television, you're not opening your Bible, and you telling me I have to come to church? I have to serve Jesus. Don't become a hypocrite to your children. Don't become a hypocrite to your children. There, it will be no way that you won't have your house in subjection if you're double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So don't be one person at church at home and another person at home. Be the same. Amen. Bring Christ into your house. Christ isn't meant to be left anywhere. He's always with you when you receive him. He's always with you. You can quench the spirit. You can put down and you can backslide. But God's still there. God's still there. So you have to profess the Lord. Secondly, you have to bear witness of Jesus and give the testimony of Jesus Christ. People aren't going to know what Jesus did if we don't tell them, because as I said before, the world today isn't opening a Bible. And if they are, it's a corrupt version of the Bible. So what are they going to learn? They're going to learn what somebody is steering them to learn versus what God wants them to learn. Amen? The King James Version of the Bible is the Word of God. There wasn't added to it and nothing taken from. And if you add to or take away, your name's going to be taken out of the book of life. Why would you want to add to or take away? Just tell people exactly the testimony of Christ that John the Baptist testified of. I mean, this whole chapter, and I'm reserving myself to stay ahead of verse 29 so Brother Paco can come in and take it away. Amen. You know, because this whole chapter is testifying of Jesus. When I saw that we were preaching the same thing, and when he saw it, it's like, what are you doing, brother? You know, so I want to listen to that, because I know it's going to be good, because this whole book is good. Amen. So you got to testify of Jesus and tell people just exactly how it is. Don't puff it up, because it doesn't need to be puffed up. God doesn't need to be puffed up. God is God, and it sounds good just the way it is. Amen. So you have to tell people about Jesus. John chapter 8, real quick. John chapter 8. I'm going to read a little bit here. And this is Christ preaching and bearing witness of himself. Amen. So if we're just to do what Jesus did, the doctrine of Christ is what Jesus did and taught. Amen. So we should kind of develop that as a common practice in our life, is to do and teach what Jesus did and taught. Take what we hear from the Word of God and apply it to our life. Amen. So Jesus says here, verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true." Now, if you want to tell God that what his word says is not true, go right ahead. You'd be sorely mistaken. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father sent me beareth witness of me. Then they said unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have also known my, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then the Jews said, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? This is just the foolishness and ignorance of men. He said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And he goes on here, but if Jesus Christ can bear witness of himself, I'm pretty sure that we can bear witness of Jesus. Because even if you didn't have any inkling of what to say, you can just take the words right from the Lord, and you can tell them that Jesus is the light of the world. If you follow after him, you should not walk in darkness, but you shall have the light of life. You don't have to develop something that God has already given you. You don't have to make it easier to say, because it's already easy to say. So if Jesus can bear witness of himself to the Jewish people, you can just as easily bear witness to somebody about Jesus, bear witness of Jesus to somebody else. It's not hard. It really isn't. John the Baptist, another testimony of bearing witness of the light, as we've seen here in John chapter 1 and in the other Gospels as well. And lastly, you have to share the gospel with everybody. You have to share the gospel with everybody in Romans chapter 1. And this puzzles me with some churches today and some Christians. Romans chapter 1 in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Well, how come you don't tell people? How come you don't tell people today? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the Apostle Paul says. If you let somebody walk by and you don't tell them about the Lord, you're ashamed. You're ashamed. The other day at work, I had customers come in. They wanted to get in and out in 10 minutes. I work at a bank. And they wanted to be in and out in 10 minutes. Well, they revealed through conversations that they're Christians. So I went. We were there an hour and a half talking about the Lord. If I was ashamed, if I didn't open my mouth, then I'm ashamed. Now, I'm not saying I have done it, I have been ashamed. I haven't said anything before. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. But as you grow in the Lord, you realize that you need to speak up. So I had a great fellowship with two Christians for an hour and a half at work. That doesn't get to happen too often. But I opened my mouth. So when you open your mouth, you'll feel the love, you'll feel the comfort of fellowship with other Christians. So you don't, it's not just the lost people. Don't be ashamed to be around other Christians. Somebody comes by, you don't know them, they're a stranger, but they're a Christian, you're just their brother or their sister. Talk about the Lord. Have a fellowship for a little bit. Makes the day go by a lot quicker. Amen? So as John the Baptist here proclaimed, and he was the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. One last thing that I'll mention. In John chapter 3, starting verse 25, then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying, and they came to John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. And here it is, he must increase, but I must decrease. So there's so many passages of scripture and things that John the Baptist was testifying of the Lord, but whether it's you're the one of the voice of the Lord crying in the wilderness, you need to be out there today crying in the world, telling people about Jesus, but you also have to let God increase and let yourself decrease. Amen. You have to have the ability to take yourself out of the way. I don't care if you think you're some fancy preacher or whatever it is. God's got to increase because all the glory goes to him. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just come before you, Lord, and ask, Lord God, you bless the rest of tonight, Lord God, that our hearts would be soft and ready to take on your word, Lord God, that we can receive it into our hearts, Lord God, that we can bear witness to you and tell somebody about you, Lord God, that we can just heed what has been taught to us here today, that we can gain and learn so much more about you, Lord, and through your word, Lord God, that we can use it to your glory, to your honor, Lord God, that we can praise you in everything that we do and give the glory to you in everything, Lord God. Bless this church, Lord, and Pastor Kewen for what they do here, Lord, and just serving us all day in the hospitality, Lord God, that they might receive great blessings, Lord God. And I pray for all the men that are preaching here, Lord, that you just allow them to glorify and edify you as has been done today, Lord, and those that come after me, Lord, that your word would be edified. In Jesus' name, amen.